with a bow. Okay, that was different. So I guess I'd like to just start by seeing like what people's understanding is of the kleshas, and if someone wants to share things that they've learned or things that came up during the week or what happened in the exercise, really. All of that's fine. So whatever it is that you want to contribute to the group, that would be great. Yeah,
Harry. Hi. Well, to me, the most significant thing, the most pointed thing was, it was a surprise to me. There was one thing which I just snapped at somebody, and, sort of insulted him and told him to take a walk. And it just came out. I mean, he said a few things that was annoying me, but I wasn't paying much attention to it. But then when I snapped at him, I blew my own self-image, was because it came out of, my insides. As far as the kleshas go, I like them because they're kind of practical categories. They're not fancy psychological stuff.
Notice. Yeah, Catherine.
I just kept coming back to Michael's quote, it's all about me. And I thought, darn it, he's right. It is all about me. I kept thinking that, when I would be experiencing something. That quote just kept coming back in my mind.
Yeah.
It's all about me. When one of these destructive, when one of these emotions would come forth, that I would think, when I would be writing something down, really, it is all about me, So that was very helpful.
Thank you.
I want to say I want to agree with that, and which I just realized just now when you said it. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. Everything that I discussed in our dyad was about me and pride. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is very difficult. But I remember something from last week. And I have done this in the past to identify what's going on in the body with a shape or a color or a feeling. It's cold, it's hot, it's clenching, it's burning. And that was helpful this week too. That was, for me, the easiest part to identify. It's like, cold. It feels like a bruise. It feels like it feels like heat. It feels like, I often use the expression, my hair's on fire. It's like, yeah, because it's like red and hot and you're angry, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh. Right. So just little pieces are coming.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Janet.
A couple things is one was just today driving into Boston, and, three lanes were merging into two, and you had to literally, merge into one of the lanes. And, it was just the traffic flow. And so, of course, the guy behind me slams on his horn as I was trying to merge into one of the lanes, and I just, threw up my hands, hey, what do you expect, or something. And, I was saying to Nick, even though I was able to kind of not carry that with me, as I continued driving or whatever, that the sort of anger or whatever, it felt good to just get pissed off. It just felt good to just go, hey, what are you thinking? I sometimes wonder in some of this, is I don't think they're saying there's harm in doing that, but the sort of the bringing some emotion into it like that, or expressing yourself in some way, that they seem to go together in some way. with well, some of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's not about being flat. You know, we're not saying, you know, it's not about getting rid of things, but it's more like seeing through, seeing when it's sort of out of control or, mm-hmm. you know, goes beyond necessary, or it's something you hang on to and you chew over again and again. I mean, a lot of times there could be an immediate reaction, but, and then there's more recognition, you know, well, okay, you know, you make a choice where you're going at that point. So it's not about, it's not really about suppressing or cutting off necessarily. Mm-hmm. But we're going to be trying to move towards a more of an understanding of the mindful gap, you know, leaving more space between the trigger and the response, yeah. you know. So I guess we're going to, well, in the mindfulness-based stress reduction program, which I know you're familiar with, there's we talk about react versus respond. And a reaction is almost like the trigger happens and then there's just an immediate reaction. Mm-hmm. But responding could come after a pause. So there could be more of a pause and then the response might be different from the reaction. Mm-hmm. So we'll be talking more about the how to work with the emotions. I mean, right now what we're trying to do is feel their texture, you know, and really get a real sense of how they feel in the body and what it's not up here in the head, you know. Mm-hmm. Like we're trying to get beyond that spot and feel it. So that's why concentrating or paying attention. Did anyone notice anything that was unusual for them, or were you surprised at the emotions that you recognized during the week? Or even if you're new tonight, you know, is there anything that you thought of for yourself? Yes.
I noticed that I had a pretty good week. And part of it, I think, is because I have experienced quite a bit of suffering over a long period of time. And I think I've kind of cattle-prodded myself into wanting to not suffer. So I had to find a different way. And for me, that meant, okay, I'm going to shorten the story. Every time I take a story to the nth degree, I'm just creating more and more pain for myself. So the story got shorter, 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 and I noticed even in this week, if something would come up, oh, some sadness or something, I'd go, oh, I'm feeling a little sad. But it'd pull me back to kind of a center. Mm-hmm. It would just be identifying, but I wouldn't have to tell a story and create a story
yeah.
and create more suffering. Mm-hmm. But for myself, I think it's because there's just been a lot of suffering after suffering after suffering that I really just got sick and tired of it. And I wanted to have peace. Mm-hmm. And that was my momentum. Mm-hmm.
And so did cutting the story short help to bring
peace?
Oh,
yes. Yeah. I was identifying whatever the emotion was, so I wasn't negating my feelings and
right.
shoving it down, but I wasn't adding something else onto it that I didn't need to at the time.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Gary?
That's interesting. The way you put it. I noticed that that I drive a lot, and I'm always in traffic, and that I find like in the pit of my stomach, like when somebody cuts me off or does something stupid or whatever it may be. And just the reaction that I have, I can feel it. I really felt it this week. I don't think in the past, I think I might have felt it, but I was really kind of unaware of it. So now I'm noticing it. Doesn't mean I'm not reacting, but I'm noticing that that's what happens to me. And it's like, you know what? The whole thing. thing about the story is, like, you know, they're doing it because they're trying to piss me off or something, and it has nothing to do with me. But what they did has nothing to do with me. So.
Yes.
I wonder, or I think you wonder how much of, or was thinking about how much of, especially for, you know, those of us that are working and, you know, you're kind of going from one thing to the next, that how much of life is around the whole klesha of attachment and expecting an outcome, you know. So, like, you know, this whole thing with driving and traffic, you know, we're trying to get somewhere, and, you know, and then you get to work and you're trying to get something done, and you, you know, then you come home and interact with your whoever, or live alone and interact with a friend, or, you know, whatever interactions with people, and you have a certain expectation of what's going to come of that reaction. And, you know, I guess I was just thinking about realizing, you know, how much of my day from start to finish is with a sort of an expectation of a certain ending or a certain thing to happen. Whether it's as simple as, you know, that I, you know, expect my cats to jump up on the sink while I'm brushing my teeth because that's what they do. And so if they don't do it, then sort of like, well, where are they? You know, to an expectation around, you know, I work in healthcare, so, you know, my patients responding a certain way, or, you know, coming in and telling me hopefully what I'm expecting they're going to tell me, which is that they did what I asked them to do, and da-da-da-da-da. There's just so much of the day, for me anyway, that's around outcomes. And I can't even envision not doing that.
Mm. Well, it's very interesting. There is a teaching that has to do with exactly that, which is no actor, no action, no result. And it's really mixing the activity with, you could say, space or emptiness. So you're still doing what you do at work, but there could be less, as you said, attachment is a great word, less attachment to the outcome. So there's a sense of doing, proceeding, but there's a space, there's more space in there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So allowing there to be more space is again another way of saying kind of dropping the expectation for a certain result, because that solidifies the situation all the time.
Well, it's actually sort of ironic, because one of the things that before I even started coming here that has been my sort of my new coping mechanism at work is being less attached. You know, I just sort of told myself, what I realized, you know, have realized at different points in my career is that a lot of times I'm working harder for the patient to get better than the patient is working for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm more attached to the outcome, I think, than they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I do, you know, my mm-hmm. job is to fix them. And so, you know, I had kind of said to myself, maybe if I become less attached to the outcome and just sort of, you know, take what they give me and accept that I can only do so much, and et cetera, that, you know, the frustration and the burnout and the fatigue and mm-hmm. everything else at the end of the day might be less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, take yourself out of the equation.
Yes.
Yeah, drop it a little more, drop it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's astounding, familiar. I'm retired and I worked in healthcare my whole life, and I have a volunteer job, and I'm doing medical coordination with homeless people or people who have a home but don't have, you know, can't manage their own lives. And this man I've been working with for 9 months was doing drugs at the day center, the daytime shelter, that's probably going to be banned from life, which means required to not be attached to some outcome. It was sort of trying to figure out what to do, and but it is related to, like, my homework was all about my being upset, feeling like my boss at this job doesn't respect me. You know, she's offering jobs to the 21-year-olds, but doesn't offer a job to me. And, you know, I just, you know, sort of getting into a whole thing about it. And I, you know, I really need to let it go because it's not productive. Mm-hmm. You know, it interferes with my functioning there. And I think it's a attachment and pride. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, I can feel it in my chest, but it's, I make a whole thing out of it, and it just is very destructive to me, and I think it interferes with my relationships there. You know, it's a very frustrating job because there's very little you can do until you know, want the patients or the guests to get better more than they want sometimes. But also I wondered, like, I kind of get confused with, like, well, I had a clinical depression, and I have a medication that's, you know, to address the chemical imbalance. Now, is that a clatia? Mm-hmm. I don't think.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, and I was, you know, I was wondering, is, you know, are psychiatric conditions clatias? I wouldn't think so. Mm-hmm. And then I sort of tried to apply the no self theory to the clatia thing. That it's being all about me. So I want to separate the story from the feeling and just feel the feeling. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, well, is me the feeling? Where does the story go?
Right.
So I was like, I'm not supposed to have a self here. I think I was mixing apples and oranges. It was like, well, the feeling is my left arm and the story is my right arm. Chop off my right arm, right? Like, and I'm confused. I sort of got it mixed up with the no self, and I think maybe I should try to.
Don't worry about no self. We'll get to that later. We're going to put it off as long as possible.
I can't blend it in with this.
No. Well, the idea here is first we're looking at the emotional arising. That's the main thing. There's energy there, right? We all know if there's some kind of clenching or reaction that we feel, and heat or cold or whatever, there's some kind of act, there's something along with, it's not just a thought. Like we sit here and meditate and we have a thought, like I'm hungry or this. I mean, there's not a lot of, you know, clenching around most of it. But in a clatia, there is this gripping, you could say. So we first are trying to take the story out of it, which is what, you know, makes it go on and on and on. And it makes us, keep remembering it and the next time we add on. So we're piling on the story over and over, right? It gets worse and worse. So that's the first step. And then then it is, you start to see it is about yourself, like because you feel hurt, because you feel attached, because, you know, and you start to see, oh, if I saw this differently and didn't, like, hang on to it so much for myself, there could actually be more room here to breathe. So in the end, it's lessening the attachment to the self. That's true. But we're going from the point of entry that's easiest, because it's hard to just, well, I'm a no self. What does that mean? It's, you know, we've already been down that route several times, and we're not going to go there again. Not yet. We're working up another. We're barking up a different tree.
Because I feel like, okay, I'm supposed to. It's all about me. I'm supposed to separate me from me.
No. It's, you just notice. You know, you're noticing. And we're going to apply different techniques. That's what we're going to start talking about next week, is really how do we work with the emotions. Right now we're looking. So part of this is kind of sharpening our, it's called prajna, and that's our insight. So we're, you start sharpening by paying attention. So for me, I started really noticing, like, I was just making jokes a lot about the Clashes, and I had this idea, my friend came from Vermont, and then we were just standing in the hall, I said, we could put up a big whiteboard, and we could have all the Clashes written across the top, and I draw a line it this way, and I put Emily here and Michael here, and then I write all of Michael's Clashes, but I have an indelible pen, and I give him the one that is the erase, the dry erase. And he has to put mine up, and at night I wipe them all off. I just came up with this incredibly ridiculous fantasy, you know. The whole thing, it just kind of... I just saw how I was always mixing, I was mixing a lot of humor in, which is another way of actually working with the Clashes. It diffuses the seriousness of the whole thing because we take it all, it's also serious, you know? Okay, so they cut you off in traffic, you know? Okay, well, they didn't crash your car, and that's good. But you know what I mean?
It could be worse.
Could be worse. But we do take it seriously because, you know, there's some sense of always referring back to self and, you know, holding on and pride. And so mixing with humor can be really actually a good antidote. That's another thing to remember, is sort of laugh at yourself, be able to sort of see, oh, okay. And that kind of can lighten up some of this too. So any other ideas, participation?
I had a different level of aggression. It was more of an irritation. I was trying to explain something to my girlfriend, and I felt that she didn't understand, but I felt that she didn't understand me, and I felt the slight irritation here, and then I'm like, she doesn't understand me. Well, who's me? I'm like, she just doesn't understand, and I'm like, let me focus on understanding. There is no me, and like, it just vanished.
Wow.
Dissipated. It's, mm-hmm. you know, and it was just gone. Mm-hmm. And there was understanding too, because I didn't have that. It wasn't aggression, it was like an irritation, so mm-hmm. a lesser degree. So there can be lesser degrees for me sometimes, because, you know, you can kind of hone down or keep it under control, but I think it's important that we're mindful of the degrees too, that these five poisons come in, and mm-hmm. they can be something harmless, but it goes back to that
mm-hmm.
main.
Right.
Yeah, so you're saying when you took you out of it, you were able to help her understand better? Is that what you're saying? Because you weren't making it about you?
And it wasn't even me, it was just the fostering the understanding and the frustration here contained when I was feeling it here, and then I'm like, wait a minute, who's getting upset? You know, she's not understanding me, but there is no me. And I'm like, wait, she's not understanding. Let me help understand. Let me help, you know, let's focus on that. Never mind this sense of, you know, this.
Mm-hmm. He dissolved that knot of reaction then.
Yeah.
So
and
you were able
also
to
that,
just...
that kind of an entitlement, that, like, mm-hmm. you know, that
uh-huh.
sense of me. It's, mm-hmm. I don't really have a word for it, but...
But one of the things that you mentioned about this degree of intensity, a lot of Clashes are quite subtle. Like, your attachments can be extremely subtle. You know, I'm not passionately attached to something necessarily, but I'm attached to a lot of little things. And all I have to do is have two of these things removed, and suddenly I'm squirming, and I'm, you know, getting antsy and feeling really uncomfortable and going up, climbing the walls and all that kind of stuff. I mean, and that form itself could be a mild form, but still doing it. I mean, the fact is we still, these things still do operate. They don't always operate in extremely ferocious dimensions.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's actually exactly what I meant to say. It was just an oscillating little
mm-hmm.
kind of tickle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Yes, Ed.
This is a closer look at pleasure. It's a closer look at myself. And I will admit that
I enjoy this type of a dialogue, a discourse, and, you know, it's a Sanskrit word which means conflicted emotions, disturbing emotions, afflicted states of mind, and neurotic upheavals. Shit, I'm Irish, you know, that's me. It guides me, you know, to focus on, you know, I mean, to talk about wanting to run the other way when you have to face an emotion. I mean, someone asked me a serious question. I say, I'm from Brockton. They say, have you lived there all your life? And I say, not yet. I just don't want to get involved in, not an entanglement, but, you know, the experience. And I don't mind, but it's either sarcasm, sarcastic, or sardonic. Pick your choice, which way am I going to be? But, I have a lovely, 5-minute session here with, to have a woman listen to you for 5 minutes, that's incredible.
Good, we know you'll be back.
It's a deepening experience, this pleasure. I'm glad there's a term for it.
Can I add something to that?
Because I was listening to Janet, and the thing about it is, I think what we're trying to do is not be human, but it's the attachment, the animosity, because there can be a charm to somebody swearing, but I think if there's something attached, this is where it becomes, if there's like some sort of, some sort of negativity, but I mean, it's just human to be human. And even like when I was listening to Janet say, you threw your hands up, I mean, that you could throw your hands up, and that could be a vent rather than, you know, if the world is bad or whatever is attached to it.
Is there anyone else that hasn't had a chance to say something? Because we're getting near the end. We're a little over by 2 minutes. Did you want to say anything?
No.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. So, great. Thank you. And we'll dedicate the merit. Here, I'll pass it back.